Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and in just an hour, we will find out what the State of the Union is. Now, there are certain rituals that come with being the president. Certain ruffles and flourishes. Go ahead, look it up. Certain ruffles and flourishes that come with the job. And the annual State of the Union address? Well, that's one of them. But when Barack Obama announces the State of the Union tonight, he's going to be talking big picture. Tonight on Soundcheck, we want to look specifically at one part of American culture. So we're going to invite you to be, just for a minute, the President of the United States of American Music. And your job will be to deliver a State of the Union's music address, sort of like President Obama's opening act. Now, you can't just call us up and start blathering on about what's right and what's wrong and who's hyped and who's missing. These things have a format to them, a ritual, and it goes like this.
I can report to you that the state of this old but youthful union is good.
The state of our union is confident and strong.
Tonight, there is every sign that the state of our union is sound.
And I must say to you that the state of the union is not good.
The state of our union is getting stronger.
So, Soundcheck listener, your task, should you choose to accept it, is to complete this sentence. The state of American music is, and fill in the blank. Is it strong, merely good, downright troubled? Why? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692, or leave your answer on our website, soundcheck.org. But wait, there's more. There are two other consistent parts of a State of the Union address. The president traditionally offers at least one policy initiative to move us forward, and gives a shout-out to a special guest or two seated up in the balcony, usually next to the First Lady. Someday, maybe those guests will be seated next to the First Husband, but we're not there yet. Where we are is asking you and our guests to finish the phrase, the state of American music is, and then give us a single policy idea that you think will help America's musical life. And finally, who would your special guest be up in those fancy balcony seats? Ready? We're at 212-433-WNYC and online at soundcheck.org. Let's start, appropriately, in Washington, D.C., where all the activity will be taking place in the next hour. Joining me is Chris Richards. He is the Washington Post's pop music critic. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Is this like a big party night in D.C., the State of the Union address?
People actually get together in bars and watch it. I'm not, because I'm still here at the office where people are actually working and talking to you guys. So no party time for me tonight.
All right. Well, then we're going to get right to it, Chris. The state of American music is?
In repair, on the rebound, and looking very, very promising. I think in terms of recordings, 2012 was a very blah year. You know, for me, Frank Ocean's Channel Orange was really the only album that was like a deep mind blower, and even that one kind of failed to win Album of the Year at Sunday night's Grammy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, we have so many great albums being promised to us in 2013 across all kinds of genres. It looks like it could be a very, very exciting year. So my heart is full of hope for the music that is expected to land on our eardrums in 2013.
Okay. So what would your – give me a policy initiative to help make that come true.
Yeah, of course. Well, my first policy initiative would be for non-country music fans to really give the genre a try this year. I think 2013 is really shaping up to be an amazing year, especially for women in country music. There are really superb albums on the way from Kacey Musgraves and Ashley Monroe, and two others that I haven't heard yet, the Pistol Annies, which is a band that Ashley Monroe is in with Miranda Lambert, and also Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks returns from her exile this year, and we'll see how she does as well. So
right.
This is definitely a great year for like the I Hate Country Except for Johnny Cash crowd to kind of get in the mix, I think, and jump in the pool.
All right, and maybe Kacey Musgraves, one of the names you mentioned, will be the person to do it. This is her song, Merry-Go-Round.
Thank you. If you ain't got two kids by 21, you're probably gonna die alone. At least that's what tradition told you. And it don't matter if you don't believe. Come Sunday morning, you best be there in the front row like you're supposed to. Same hurt in every heart. Same trailer, different park.
That is Kacey Musgraves and a little bit of her song, Merry-Go-Round. So Chris Richards of the Washington Post, their pop music critic, thinks that it's time for non-country fans to really give country a try. That sounds like country, but not necessarily Nashville, Chris.
It's true. She has a pop leaning to it. I think she has the capabilities to really kind of steal some of the fans who grew up with Taylor Swift and are now ready to be adults. She kind of talks about some 20-something issues. So I think that's a lot of potential in Kacey Musgraves. Another thing, too, is a lot of people, speaking of Nashville, people are watching the television show Nashville.
Right.
It's hugely popular. And I speak with a lot of folks who love the TV show, but they just, and I say, well, what country artists do you like? Oh, I don't really know any. So I think even that TV show might be a gateway for a lot of folks who aren't familiar with what's going on in the real Nashville to kind of get up on it and see what's happening.
Well, speaking of what's going on, I mean, EDM, electronic dance music, has become very big. I mean, you know, we see Skrillex at the Grammys now 2 years in a row walking off with lots of hardware. What about that?
Well, I think electronic dance music, this is a year where it has to get smart if it wants to survive. This stuff continues, like you said, to surge in popularity. People are going to electronic music festivals in massive numbers. Here in Washington, a gigantic nightclub is opening in a few months to kind of provide a permanent neighborhood home for this music. I think a lot of these artists, if they want it to stick around and if they want to make good on this promise that DJs are the new rock stars, quote unquote, they need to start thinking about their legacy, and that's going to come down to songcraft. We all think of, I know they're not an American group, but we're talking about Daft Punk. You know, this is a group that many of the
French
DJs...
French band, yeah.
Yes, exactly, the French DJ duo. So many electronic musicians and DJs idolize them and talk so reverently of them. And it's because, you know, in addition to being very stylish and having great sound, they're great songwriters, too. Porter Robinson is a younger DJ who I interviewed back in December. He had some really smart thoughts on songwriting and songcraft, and you can kind of tell in the work that he's done so far, it's foreshadowing that maybe he'll be one of the guys that kind of push this forward and really make sure that the tunes are as anthemic and as big as they can be, because that's what it's going to take for them to stick around. You think about disco back in the day. I mean, you had Nile Rodgers there crafting fantastic tunes with Chic, and that's what really made that music sort of endure beyond its shelf life as a trend, so to speak. So,
all right. So, maybe Porter Robinson injecting a note of songcraft into a world that we associate with four-on-the-floor dance music. This is his song, Language. Some electronic dance music from the DJ Porter Robinson. That's called Language. So Chris Richards is in the president's seat for the moment, giving us his State of the Union's music address. The state of American music, he feels, is full of promise, but EDM, electronic dance music, has to get smart to survive. Who are you pointing to up in the gallery? Who are your special guests up there?
I've invited foreign dignitaries Phoenix, the French rock band, to join us. I'm kind of curious how a bunch of Frenchmen became the best American rock band out there, but I would argue that they are. They have a great new album that I hope is great, called Bankrupt. It arrives on April 22nd, and I'm a huge fan of this group live. They've kind of brought joy to rock and roll without ever really seeming corny or cloying or any of that stuff. We've had great international relations with Canada over the past few years, from Carly Rae Jepsen to Bieber to Drake to the Arcade Fire. I think it's time to strengthen our bonds with France. Daft Punk has this album coming out. Phoenix has this album coming out. They are great allies to us.
All right. So Chris Richards, State of the Union's Music Address with a little bit of a French accent. Chris, always nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on
State
of Union Night.
Hey, thanks so much. Take care.
We're talking about the state of American music with some of our guests and with you, and let's go right to the phones. Our number, once again, is 212-433-WNYC, or if you can't get through, go to our website, soundcheck.org. Milaja's on the line with us in Brooklyn. Hi, Milaja.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How is American music doing? What is the state?
The state of American music is getting stronger when folks like the Lumineers and Mumford & Sons, who can actually play instruments and can actually sing, are at the Grammys and winning awards. The State of the Union is looking really good.
So you feel like the Grammys actually were a pretty good reflection of what's happening in music and where the talent lies?
I think so. I'm hearing across the board different socioeconomic, different race, different cultural backgrounds where people are loving music that usually they'd be put in little slots that were culturally, oh, you have to like this music, you have to like that music. I'm hearing urban teens singing Lumineer songs. So it's definitely getting stronger.
All right. I suspect that we'll have a kind of difference of opinion, though, as we go to the next caller, who is Sal in Melville, New York. Sal, how do you think the state of American music is?
How you doing? I think the state of American music is on life support, because even though what she was saying about Mumford & Sons and the grassroots sort of bands, it's still so engineered and manufactured, and that's the thing that's being pushed out on the radio and everywhere else.
So you feel like there's a kind of lack of, what, authenticity, of handmade?
There's a lack of authenticity, there's a lack of soul, and because everything is so engineered and so produced and so perfected, there's no real soul in the music. If you think of, like, a James Brown or, I don't know, even, like, the way the Grateful Dead recorded their albums, it had such a different feel and such a different vibration to it that resonated with you when they sang the song.
All right.
Even with the modern folk, you know, movement, I hear the soul almost coming out, but I still just don't feel it. And I don't know. I mean, I have hope for the future.
Well, it's interesting, you know, that we have two callers, you know, with diametrically opposed views of the same music scene. You know, that is always part of the State of the Union address. It's part of our little State of the Union warm-up on Soundcheck tonight, as we're asking you what you think the state of American music is. We're asking you to fill in the blank. State of American music is whatever. And joining me now on the line is the singer, pianist, and songwriter Amanda Palmer. Her latest album called Theater is Evil was one of my favorites of 2012. Amanda, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hey there.
So, you know our question. The state of American music is...
The state of American music is being snatched back by the hands of the community.
Oh, nice. Now, what do you mean by that specifically? It sounds good.
Well, I mean, what I see and the bands that I see being successful and the places where I see music working is where celebrity has kind of faltered and dissolved, but smaller, you know, middle class, working class bands who are able to just find their audiences and make a living are proliferating everywhere, but you're not hearing about them for the most part.
So would you say to Sal, the caller who just said that everything sounds too processed and produced?
That's because he's listening to the radio. Get off the radio and listen to the internet.
Wait, what are you saying?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about mainstream pop radio where things are just getting more and more strangled.
All right, now, but if you're going to give us a proper State of the Union music message, Amanda, you have to give us a policy initiative or two. So what have you come up with?
Well, I have a speech. I've read it over a couple times, and it really only sounds right delivered in Obama, like, you know, Obama-like tone of voice. I don't know how I'm going to...
Can you give us the...
I'm going to manage doing it without sounding Obama-y.
Can you give us the Reader's Digest condensed version of your speech?
Well, I was just going to read it to you.
Okay, go ahead.
But, you know, it's kind of long. It's probably like 3 minutes long. Can you handle it?
Well, we got lots of people queued up behind you, Amanda, to get their policies and their answers on the air. Can you summarize it for us?
I can summarize it by saying we need to abolish the concept of stealing music. Because music is free, and we all know it. It's instantly shareable. We need to accept that reality and stop trying to lock it up. It's impossible for me to understand why people still think that we need paywalls and we need to figure out what music should cost and so forth.
So the idea of piracy, there's something wrong with that.
I think the very idea has to die. And it looks like it is dying, which is good. We're heading in the right direction. And instead of instilling fear into the minds of our young people and punishing them for torrenting music that they love and trying to discover new music, we should spend our energy educating them about how to support the artists that they love.
Now, that's something you've done with your listeners, with your fans, to a great extent through fan funding sites like Kickstarter. Is that kind of your policy initiative?
Yeah, I mean, my policy initiative is to say, look at the course of human history. You know, it's only really, really recently that we've had recorded music and we've stuck a price tag on it.
Yep.
And now that we have the beauty of the internet, which really does allow for a small number of people to give an artist a living wage, we basically just need a giant re-education. You know, where I'm a street performer. I come from the street, and I made a really predictable living on the street. You don't need everyone to know about you and everyone to support you. You just need to nurture the people who care about your art, which might just be a few people, but the internet makes it possible to find those people. So, you know, but we grew up in the 80s with MTV and giant stars thinking that in order to be a successful musician, you had to get a record deal and you had to be huge and you had to be on MTV. Those things just don't hold true anymore.
Yeah. We're speaking with Amanda Palmer. She's helping us fill in the blank on this question. The state of American music is what? She says it's being snatched back by the hands of the community. This is some of Amanda's music from her fan-funded record, Theater is Evil. Amanda Palmer's album Theater is Evil, funded through her fans on the Kickstarter website. That's called Do It With a Rock Star. Back to Amanda in a moment. But first, we are asking you, what do you think about the state of American music? The state of the union? We'll find that out in the next hour when President Obama is addressing the nation. But we want to hear from you now at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Complete this sentence. The state of American music is... Joel, on the line with us from Manhattan. Joel, answer
So
what's your answer to the question?
My answer is to use the words of Charles Dickens and say, these are the best of times and these are the worst of times.
Why?
I think thanks to the internet and thanks to digital technology, we have more music than ever before, and like any other time in history, probably 99% of it stinks. Like every other time anybody was ever making music and putting it out ever before. But 1% is brilliant and fantastic, and the good news is that 1% is bigger than it's ever been before.
Simply because there are more people making and sharing music.
Exactly. And the state of American music is not American music. It's global music because we're completely interconnected now.
Absolutely. That's a good comment, Joel. And Amanda sort of goes back to what you were saying just a moment ago about how, you know, you don't need to be famous to everybody as long as you have your community and you're able to reach them.
Exactly, which you didn't used to be able to do.
Right. So getting back to the idea of your policy initiatives to bring American music forward into this era of communal funding and communal support and communal musicianship, what else would you do?
I've got one specific policy, which is this. If any musician from this day on who begins a Kickstarter video pitch along the lines of, hey, everybody, we know you're, like, really sick of bands begging for money to fund their records, and we really hate having to ask because it's really embarrassing. Any of these musicians will be sent indefinitely to remote re-education camps where they will be forced to listen 24 hours a day on repeat to the Lou Reed Metallica collaboration Lulu at full volume.
Not Lulu, no, no.
Have you doubting every meaning you've amassed, like a fortune, all thrown away, but worship someone who actively despises you. For worship someone who actively despises you.
So now, Amanda, you're not saying that people, bands, should not be going on Kickstarter. You're saying they shouldn't feel bad about it. They shouldn't be, guilty.
They should go out there with pride, because there's nothing shameful about asking people to help you with your art. And I think, you know, we have a problem around all, you know, this in general in this culture, but I've seen so many artists just so afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Because we were brought up, the particular music business culture we were brought up in is that someone's going to do it for you. And the whole, you know, the golden ring is to get signed, and you've got a label negotiating for you, and you've got agents negotiating for you. And, you know, we were brought up to believe that success meant you didn't need to ask and you didn't need to negotiate.
All right, so, Amanda, let me go now to the question of who your shout-outs to. Who are the people up in the fancy seats in the balcony, in the gallery?
Well, I want my husband up there, Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman, the author, he's
good looking. I'd like the Queen of England so that he can feel fancy and tell his mom about it, because it's the Queen. And I'd like Prince up there. Prince has gotten kind of out of control with his whole "the internet is over" trip. And I'd also like Leonard Cohen up there to just nod slowly and sagely along to my entire address.
That would make anybody. I think Barack Obama would like to have Leonard Cohen sagely nodding along to his State of the Union address. Amanda Palmer's latest album is called Theater is Evil. Amanda, thank you so much for being with us on State of the Union night.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
I'd love to speak with Leonard. He's a sportsman and a shepherd. He's a lazy bastard living in a suit.
Leonard Cohen's going home. All right, Soundcheck listeners, what do you think? The state of American music, is it good? Is it bad? Is it somewhere in between? Is it, as one listener said, both the best and worst of times? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. More guests and more of your calls and comments from the web coming up. You're listening to Soundcheck.
Going home without my sorrow. Going home sometime tomorrow. Going home to where it's better than before.
WNYC is supported by Plaza Jewish Community Chapel, owned and operated by the Jewish community, located at 91st Street in Amsterdam, offering a full range of funeral services, including arrangements in advance. More information at plazajewishcommunitychapel.org.
WNYC is giving away 5 pairs of tickets to Composer Portraits featuring N.O. Pop, February 23rd, 8 p.m. at the Miller Theater at Columbia University. Enter to win. Click on giveaways at WNYC.org by 11 p.m. tonight and follow the instructions.
In observation of Listener Appreciation Month, We now present a sustaining member haiku, as read by Jad Abumrad.
Each morning I rise, calmed and informed by the voice of Sirius. Jordan Schaefer, New York, New York.
Become a sustaining member today. Go to WNYC.org and click on support or call 1-888-376-WNYC.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. At a special time on this Tuesday evening, we are serving as President Barack Obama's warm-up act. He'll be delivering the State of the Union address at 9 o'clock, and we are asking you to tell us your verdict on the state of American music. And we've got lots of calls on the line, a number of guests that we'll be speaking to, but we're also getting a little bit of feedback on the web, from Twitter. And so let's hear what some of you have been saying. Our executive producer, Joel Myers, in the control room. Joel, what you got?
John, here's how people are completing the phrase, "The state of American music is blank." Okay, Lila in Long Island wrote, "The state of American music is excellent. The variety is astounding, and the increasing mixing of genres and ethnic styles gives America musical richness." Here's what Ray posted on Facebook. "The state of American music is crap in 2013. Music from the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s was and is the real deal." Ben from Brooklyn, New York agrees with him. "The state of American music is 90s. We seem to have picked up where we left off and replaced the political with the personal. My policy proposal, put your cell phones down at shows." And finally, Jeremy writes, "The state of American music is Brooklyn."
Nice.
But seriously, folks, here's what he also writes. "Scattered might be the most appropriate word."
All right, let's go to our next guest, and that is Danny Goldberg, the president of Gold VE Entertainment, author of the book Bumping Into Geniuses. Danny, in addition to having managed Nirvana and Bonnie Raitt, has in fact been a president of some of the big record labels, Atlantic Records, Mercury, chairman of Warner Brothers. So, Danny, you are used to this sort of thing, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know what I'm used to, but following Amanda Palmer, you could never get used to because she's so brilliant and inspiring.
All right, Danny, so then give me your inspired answer to our question. The state of American music is...
Well, I think it's very creative and inspiring, and the music business is kind of a mixed bag. Not everybody can do what Amanda Palmer did, but it's incredibly exciting that some artists can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the business part of it has recovered from the decline of record companies, but the live business is amazing. And if you're a fan, it's the best time ever because there's access to more music than ever. And I think creatively, people are creating great music. But how to protect intellectual property, how people can really get paid for what they do. I would hope that over time there are other ways people can do it because there's very few people with the charisma and brilliance of Amanda Palmer.
Who was able to, you know, fan fund a whole record and tour through the Kickstarter website.
I think she could fund a small country with what she raised.
So for folks who don't have that kind of access to that kind of loyal fan base, do you have any ideas, any policy initiatives?
Well, I think that this country could learn a lot from other countries where music is a cherished part of the culture and the public through government or through organizations help fund it. Canada is an amazing example where about one-third of recording costs and marketing costs are funded by the government through money that from people who cable subscriptions and radio and TV purchases and they support Canadian music. They export it, and it's really an example of what I wish Americans would do, because art and culture are at least as important as weapons of mass destruction, which is where we spend a lot of our resources. So I would emulate Canada's policy, what they call the Factor Program and the Star Maker Program. I'm lucky enough to manage Martha Wainwright, who, although she lives in Brooklyn, is a Canadian citizen, and she's a shining example of the benefit of that kind of community support of the arts.
So her album Come Home to Mama last year, that was in part funded through this Canadian government program.
And a lot of it is her ability to tour with a band, you know, as well. Now, she also believes in Kickstarter and used that, but I think that working, when you see what Australia and Canada and Germany does, in addition to having a better health care than our country does for the average citizen, they do believe that art is part of the value of a society. So to me, that would be one really good thing. I don't think it's going to happen in this State of the Union address, but sometime in my lifetime, I hope that as a country, we're as proud of our music as other countries are of theirs.
Well, here's one of Canada's favorite daughters, Martha Wainwright. Martha Wainwright, Can You Believe It? From her album Come Home to Mama. We're speaking with Danny Goldberg, president of Gold VE Entertainment, author of the book Bumping Into Geniuses. Danny, I have always been, in the past 10 years especially, surprised and impressed by how many Canadian bands come in here and their albums have that little notice on the back that, you know, they've gotten funding through the government. The idea of the government treating its cultural exports as equally important as its technological or military ones is a great idea. What else do you have for us in terms of policy initiatives?
Well, you'll notice a pattern in my comments. I'm a bit of a left-winger, and I also believe in unions, you know, because I think if we have a stronger middle class, more people can go to concerts and buy records, and I think musicians need health care. I mean, we represent people. They don't always have health care, but union members always do. And I hope that I think the policies of what a country does affect what artists do, and that's so I'm a pro union guy. I'm happy to say that some of the artists I work with are also. I think the musicians union is at least some level of protection for the people who are part of it, and I hope that we can get back to the time when more average people can negotiate for themselves collectively, because it's hard with these gigantic corporations to do it as an individual.
Right.
And we know the disparity in wealth has gotten so great in the last 30 years. The middle class was much stronger when I was growing up, and I think the decline of unions is part of it, and I hope they come back. And I get to work with Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, whose mom was in the teachers union, and a union man himself. And again, the two patterns to my comments are I'm a bit of a left winger, and I love the artists I work with, so I'm plugging them any chance I get.
Tom Morello, we don't need to plug him around here. We are big fans of his at Soundcheck. Let's go to the phones. Peter is joining us on the line from Morristown, New Jersey. Peter, you wanna finish our question? The state of American music is
Right now, I personally feel like it's in shambles.
Why?
The reason being is I feel like we've excused ourselves with the stealing of music. I mean, sure, you could say, we spread music around. But really, I don't think it excuses the fact that we are taking money out of artists' pockets. I don't think it should be a problem that we really consider this a business and give profits or revenue to the artist. I mean, I think some questions could come up about percentages with the artists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a big issue is it's really kind of leading us towards this giant one-hit wonder style, big pop, you know, kind of cookie-cutter song that's really, I think, destroying the sound of what popular music could be.
So the supremacy of the single at the expense of the album. That is something, Danny, you've been in this business a very long time. You know, big labels, independent labels.
Yeah.
Do you see the album as sort of under siege?
No, I think that the album is an art form, and there are artists who want to express themselves in its individual songs, and the economy of the internet allows them to do that now. It's not the greatest thing in the world for money, but it's the reality, and it's never going to go back to where you had to buy an album to get a song you liked. But there are artists that do albums that people want again. It's not just old people like me that want a Bruce Springsteen and Bob Dylan record. You know, my son loves Kanye West, and he wants to hear the whole album. So
sure.
I think it's about the level of artistic excellence, and if an artist has a vision that's an album length, people are going to want it, and enough of them are going to pay for it that they'll keep getting made. But there is definitely a technology now that allows people to do one song, two songs, three songs. So, you know, and then you have people like the Flaming Lips who can do 24 hours worth of music, you know.
Right.
So I think that flexibility is good for art, not bad.
All right. Danny Goldberg giving us his State of American Music address. Who's your guest of honor up in the balcony, Danny?
Well, I would definitely have Ornette Coleman. He's still alive. He's a treasure. He combines spiritual world and the material world. He invented his own kind of music and harmonics, and he can play jazz and classical. I'd have Joan Baez there because I want more peace in the world, and I'd have Chuck D there because we need to fight the power of some of these gigantic banks in the military-industrial complex.
That's quite a little triumvirate you got going there. Danny Goldberg, president of Gold VE Entertainment, author of Bumping Into Geniuses. Danny, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to Soundcheck. Here is, I mean, one of the artists that Danny was alluding to, the personal and the political coming together in the music of Steve Earle.
I saw empty houses on dead-end streets. People lining up for something. And the ghost of America watching me. Factories, naked bones of a better day. As I roll down the low highway,
that's some music from Steve Earle that's called The Low Highway. He has an album coming out in April. We're going to head back into the control room and producer Joel Meyer. Joel, one of the comments you read to us before was sort of bemoaning the loss of the political. You know, everything's personal. We've lost the political. There's Steve Earle sort of keeping that tradition alive. What else are people saying?
Well, John, I've been watching our Twitter account. You can tweet at us at Soundcheck. That's our handle, at Soundcheck. And Oral Tora wrote, "The state of American music is brimming with possibility, or so I hear it in Park Slope, Brooklyn." So, John, look out, Williamsburg. Park Slope is coming to get you. Stu on Twitter tweeted this, "The state of American music is bad. Not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. Hashtag dad reference, hashtag run DMC.
I'm glad to hear the crew in the control room enjoyed that one as much as we did. You're listening to Soundcheck Special Edition, 8 o'clock, as we are warming up for President Barack Obama's State of the Union address at 9, during which, by the way, you will be able to chat live with the Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. But right now we're asking you to complete this sentence. The state of American music is... And to help us finish that sentence now, we're joined by Dream Hampton, the Detroit-based hip-hop journalist, cultural critic, and filmmaker who is actually in Washington, D.C. tonight. Hi, Dream.
Hi there.
So you know what I'm going to ask you. The state of American music is?
In denial. But I heard that said already. I think that these are incredible times, and the music just doesn't reflect it. I'm particularly disappointed in hip-hop. But that's almost last year's argument when Kanye and Jay were making songs about really expensive cognac and mm-hmm. everyone is, like, super broke. I am also thinking about masculinity and all the ways that we're talking about reconstructing or deconstructing it. And people like, I wish that Drake got the reception that James Blake gets in London. I wish that he had the freedom in his community, in his musical community, because Drake will go really far around being sensitive. Mm-hmm.
What about Frank Ocean?
And Frank Ocean, obviously, is a huge breakthrough. I mean, his performance at the Grammys the other night, people talked about it being musically shaky.
Yeah.
And I think that he's a studio artist, and fine. I mean, Marvin Gaye was, too. Not that he's Marvin Gaye.
But he would like to be when he grows up.
He might be. Yeah. And, that was a brave, brave performance. I think when he went on Letterman, he sang the song about being in the back of a cab. But he went on and sang the Forrest Gump song, mm-hmm. where again and again he uses the male pronoun to love up his lover. So.
Right. All right. Now, Dream, you said the state of American music is in denial.
Yeah.
What kind of policy initiative could you suggest that would help kind of, right the course?
Well, I see some of our dictators are on their way out, so I wrote decrees.
All right, go ahead. Decree away.
Black Seattle hip-hop. With the seat of Sun Ra-like innovations from groups like Shabazz Palaces, The Satisfaction, and Champagne Champagne, shall not be Eminem'd by Macklemore.
All right. Shabazz Palaces, The Satisfaction, Champagne. What does that mean, they shall not be Eminem'd by Macklemore?
It means Elvis. We could call it It means that what happens, we have so many amazing artists in Detroit, and you would, like hip-hop artists, and you'd never know of them because Eminem has become synonymous and just Elvis the whole situation. And that's happening with Macklemore, who doesn't have any of the talent of Eminem. Rihanna is hereby banned from social media. Her oversharing and ratchet ways were liberating. No corseted notions of celebrity for Rhee. Her B and N words, middle finger at the politics of respectability, but her public tweeted and Instagram reunion with her less-than-contrite abuser has made her a dangerous model to a demographic whose intimate partner violence numbers are off the charts. She may be addicted to him, but we don't need to see her shoot up.
Yeah, and by him, of course, you mean Chris Brown.
Yes.
So no more Rihanna on social media. That would be nice. I still like the idea of Champagne Champagne and Shabazz Palaces and These Satisfaction, having their moment in the sun, not being eclipsed by the success of Macklemore. Let's hear a little bit of Champagne Champagne, Champagne Champagne, featuring The Satisfaction.
Static, cling to my mattress. Force field, make my radio active. Magnetic blackness with The Satisfaction. Champagne Champagne, the main attraction. Y'all gonna let us in like affirmative action. Magnetic blackness, closed caption. For the hearing impaired, get the fuck out the air if you're living in scare. Sign of the times that you're living is here. Don't matter if you black or white when you look in the mirror. I'ma dance like Mike and Fred Astaire. Like the Jackson 5 in here. I'ma spread my vibe in here. You do you, I double dare. Put me on the blacklist.
Champagne Champagne featuring The Satisfaction. The song is called Magnetic Blackness. We're speaking with Dream Hampton, who, among other things, co-wrote Jay-Z's memoir, Decoded. And she is helping us to answer the question about the state of American music. She says it's in denial. I want to ask you about who your special guests up in those gallery seats will be in a moment, Dream. But first, I want to get a listener comment in. Alyssa, joining us from Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
So the state of American music is?
I would say it's varied. There's something out there for everybody. And if it's all the different artists are coming from other countries to come to America and get famous here, and there's all different ways to get your music, like people still listen to vinyl, and then there's MP3s.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything.
And vinyl sales actually have been, a kind of a bright spot for the industry. They've been going up. So varied and international.
Yes.
And you have a little quick policy hint for us?
Yes. Instead of trying to make people buy their music offline, which a lot of people aren't, I'd say make more merchandise sales and tickets for their shows.
And the music itself?
Yes. Instead of the music itself.
So the music should be free, and you pay
yeah.
for the other stuff. All right. Alyssa, thanks very much. Dream, I don't know if you've noticed how much the topic of, music being free or artists getting paid, that's come up several times already tonight. You want to weigh in on that?
I've heard that. Your listeners are also a lot more optimistic than your critics.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. Yeah.
I don't know. That's an old story, too. I think that what she said was right, though, merchandise. I think that this is making fans who before were a little bit lazy about touring have to go out and develop that muscle.
Yep.
I don't think that when we were buying records, artists were being paid. I mean, Michael Jackson made history by getting, what, 82 cents on the record?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Just to repeat that, 82 cents per disc. Not per single, but per album. Yes,
yeah.
And he made history by doing that.
Yeah, that was record-breaking. So they were always being robbed. We were always just paying the record companies.
All right.
So, yeah.
So Dream, you're giving your State of the Union music address, and up in the gallery, seated whom?
Well, my hometown Detroit is often called a ghost town, so I'd like my balcony haunted by the greats from my city. Jay Dilla, his bandmate, Slum Village's Baton, who used to rap in Hebrew. Donald Byrd, who, of course, just passed away.
Betty Carter, both
of whom went to my high school, Cass Tech. And the recently resurrected Sixto Rodriguez.
Ah, Rodriguez, the subject of the documentary Searching for Sugar Man. That would be, so Jay Dilla, Donald Byrd, Rodriguez, that's pretty, I mean, that sort of goes back to what our caller was saying. Very varied, a little bit of something for everyone. Dream Hampton, the Detroit-based hip-hop journalist, cultural critic, filmmaker with us on the line. Dream, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Here's a little bit from Rodriguez, the subject of the documentary film Searching for Sugar Man.
Was it a huntsman or a player that made you pay the cost, that now assumes relaxed positions and prostitutes your loss? Were you tortured by your own thirst in those pleasures that you seek, that made you Tom the Curious, that makes you James the Weak?
The psychedelic 70s and the music of Detroit's Sixto Rodriguez, or simply Rodriguez as he was known, and then he was unknown, lost for decades, rediscovered as documented in the film Searching for Sugar Man. That's his song Crucify Your Mind. And Soundcheck listeners, your turn in a moment to answer the question. The state of American music is what? Our phone number is 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. Author Steve Allman joins us in a moment as well. This is Soundcheck.
I was born for the purpose that crucifies your mind. So can't convince your mirror as you've always done before.
Time. It's something most of us don't have a lot of. That's why WNYC is teaming up with New York Easy Dates to present a speed dating party for single New Yorkers in their 20s and 30s. Or just come and mingle with other fans of public radio and enjoy light snacks and drinks. Wednesday, February 20th at Hudson Terrace. Tickets at wnyc.org/events.
WNYC support comes from Metropolitan Entertainment, presenting Gypsy Kings, bringing their blend of flamenco guitars and South American rhythms to the Beacon Theater on Saturday, April 20th. Tickets available Friday at Ticketmaster.com and charge by phone 866-858-0008. Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, where pediatric specialists are committed to improving therapies for children with cancer. Their work has led to advanced treatments, including immune cell transplant therapies for some cancers. MSKCC.org.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and if you're tuning in now and wondering why is Soundcheck on now and not at 9 o'clock, well, Barack Obama will be taking over the airwaves at 9 o'clock to deliver his annual State of the Union address. So we are taking the hour beforehand to discuss the state of American music, and we're asking you to complete the sentence, the state of American music is what? And also asking for your policy initiatives and who your shout-out is, who you're shouting out to in the seats up there in the balcony, three of the major parts of any State of the Union address. And joining us on the line now, Steve Almond is the author of books like Rock and Roll Will Save Your Life and My Life in Heavy Metal and his most recent God Bless America Stories. Steve, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Good to be with you, John.
All right, the state of American music, in your opinion, is?
Redonkulously awesome.
Redonkulously awesome. Why?
It is unimaginable for me when I was, you know, 8 or 18 or 28 to think about what an incredible time it is to be a music fan, not a music critic, because music critics are sort of getting outsourced or they're getting downsized, but think about how accessible music is to the average fan, how easy it is to find, the number of, how portable it is. It's miraculous if you think about it. And I also love what's happening because the music industry, capital I, is really eroding. As the means of production are being democratized, these artists can make music themselves, get it directly to their fans, and there's no corporate, you know, there aren't these six or seven corporate layers in between taking money from the artist and the fan. There's much more of a direct, organic connection between the fan and musicians and bands these days, and it's awesome. I know critics are, you know, their favorite thing. That's why they call them critics, is to be, you know, cynical and down on whatever's happening. But I actually think it's an amazing golden era for fans and musicians.
Well, that kind of leaves you in a bind when I ask for a policy initiative, doesn't it?
Oh, I have many policy initiatives. I'm all about job creation. Look, there has got to be a job retraining program for bitter, unemployed record store clerks. These guys, some women, but mostly guys, are totally aggrieved. They have nobody to be snotty towards. They can't be petty tyrants towards anyone. I think we need to retrain these folks and get them into our post offices, get them into our RMVs, our DMVs, get them in the civil service where they belong.
So these are the folks from, like, that you would see in movies like High Fidelity that you want retrained.
Yeah,
okay.
We got to do something with them. We can't just kick them to the curb.
Right. What about, I mean, if you're talking about jobs, I mean, eventually you have to talk about job security, retirement plans, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of a mandatory retirement age for rock and roll bands who are planning stadium tours. I'm talking about all of the Hope I Die Before I Get Old, The Who, The Eagles, The Rolling Stones, all these bands that are essentially moving corporations, specializing in nostalgia at this point. It's fine if they want to play clubs. I mean, I'm all for musicians who have longevity and want to keep playing, but when it's a big corporate-sponsored tour, there's just nothing. That is just capitalism. That's not music anymore. That's just nostalgia being capitalized on. And so I feel like they should – I initially said 65, and I'm going to go ahead and put it at age 60. You are no longer allowed to tour in a stadium. You're no longer allowed to do that. I'm talking to you, Mick Jagger. I'm talking to Roger, whatever's left of Roger Daltrey and the rest of them.
Okay, so instead of Rolling Stones, it's Rolling Stones, Inc. when they're playing places like La Trabendo in Paris, where this concert was recorded. Jumpin' Jack Flash, Rolling Stones, recorded in October of 2012. They are still touring the stadiums. Steve Almond, if he had his way, would have them playing little clubs, which I think would be great, but that is capitalism, and it's part and parcel of the American way, I suppose. Steve's with us on the line, helping us to finish the sentence, "The state of American music is..." He says it's awesome. Don is on the line with us from Scotch Plains, New Jersey. Don, how would you finish the sentence?
I think the state of music is phenomenal. It's excellent. It's great.
Okay. For similar reasons to the ones that Steve stated?
I think, yeah, a lot of things that people have stated, just that, you know, you can put something out on YouTube and it can go viral. I don't have to be subjected to pleasing some boardroom, you know, some CEO to get him to promote my music. It's on me now.
So are you a musician?
I'm actually a DJ. So I'm in the business of playing what everybody likes to hear, the masses.
Right.
But I really like how somebody like Macklemore that you were mentioning, you know, was able to come up and without a lot of record support, he has the number one song in the country. And I think that is just the word of mouth through YouTube and, you know, social media.
Mm-hmm. And a catchy song and a kind of a cute video. You're talking about the thrift shop song, right?
And you know what? I think that'll be a bridge for a song called Same Love that takes on, you know, gay marriage. And I think it really, that's going to be a very powerful song in this year coming. I mean, to hear on your pop station, Z100, a song with such a powerful message.
Yeah. Steve, you agree? You agree with Don, Steve?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what's amazing is that previously there were always these people, and I was a DJ as well and a critic, but there were these people who were sort of the opinion shapers who stand between the fans, and especially in the era of payola, you know, who stood between the fans and the musicians, and it's really become democratized. I mean, technology's, I think, done a lot of bad things, made us taken us away from our sort of sustained sense of attention and made everything too accessible in certain ways. But for the average music fan, I know Macklemore because a friend of mine was like, hey, you got to check out this video. And it was incredible, and I could immediately go and check out his music. And when I was growing up, that was impossible. You had to go to a record store. You had to buy a record. You had to have permission to use the record player. There were a lot of barriers to just finding great new music and being able to listen to it. And that's the essence of what the music industry, quote unquote, should be about. It should be about the fans and the musicians being able to connect as easily as possible.
All right, but now let me go back to something that Dream Hampton was saying just a few minutes ago, which is she hopes that, you know, the black hip-hop artists like Shabazz Palace's The Satisfaction, that they are not overshadowed by the success of Macklemore. You know, the marketplace tends to, you know, it doesn't shine a very wide light. It shines a bright light, but it's not a wide one, you know? So
I mean, you know, then you're really getting at issues of, that have to do with sort of the fundamental pathologies of race as they interact with capitalism. I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, one of my favorite, the guy who'd be sitting up on the balcony if he was still around for me in the State of the Union would be Gil Scott-Heron, who I think is one of the greatest, most prophetic voices in American music, and partly because of the sophistication of his music, but also because of how radical it was in appraising America's various cultural pathologies, including our pathology of race. He's virtually unknown.
Yeah.
That's a guy who I wish, you know, the revolution will not be televised. I wish there'd been a YouTube video of that song, A Winter in America, because I feel like it would have immediately or it would have eventually gone viral, and he would have been a guy who was recognized as far more important than all the people who were sampling him.
And he always sort of bristled at the idea that people would call him like the godfather of hip hop. But I mean, there are so many younger musicians and now two generations of them who sort of learned a lot from the music of Gil Scott-Heron. So Steve Allman says State of American Music is redonkulously awesome, has a policy initiative to put record store clerks who are unemployed into civil service where they belong, and looking up in the gallery seats, waving to the ghost of this guy, Gil Scott-Heron.
You my father, you my uncle and my cousin and my son. But sometimes I wish you were none. But I manage to smile and I say, peace go with your brother.
Go with you, brother, from the late Gil Scott-Heron. Steve Allman's been with us, part of our cavalcade of guests and listeners on Soundcheck today. As we've been examining the state of American music, Steve's most recent book is called God Bless America, Stories. Steve, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
And to everyone who joined us tonight, thank you for calling in, for tweeting, for sending your comments to soundcheck.org. That's going to do it for our special State of American Music show. Valentine's Day coming up on Thursday. Celebrate it with Soundcheck and the band Yola Tengo. They'll be playing songs from their new album live in the studio. Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we return to our regular time. Find out how Johnny Cash ended up on a postage stamp. Tomorrow night on Soundcheck.